Hot Tech with Jan Vermeulen from My Broadband.
Jan, how are you? What's happening?
I'm well. How are you?
Excellent. Thank you. Jan, Samsung Pay officially has launched in South Africa. Tell us about this. Is this like Google Pay?
It's kind of like mobile payment systems like that. So, you know, when you think about mobile payment systems like that, the first thing you think of is you tap your phone, right, to pay for stuff. So get to a checkout and then put your fingerprint down and then to unlock the payment function and tap. What makes Samsung Pay a little different is that they've got a feature built into their flagship phones so that even if you get to places without tap to pay, which is still, I mean, let's be honest, I know that the banks are trying to push contactless technology out there as quickly as possible, but a lot of businesses are slow to upgrade their terminals, they're credit card terminals. And so a lot of places I go to don't have tap to pay. And so what Samsung does that's interesting, that's quite different from the likes of Google Pay, Apple Pay, is it's got a coil in the back of the phone that can generate a magnetic field so that if you get to a terminal that doesn't have tap to pay, but it can read like a normal mag stripe, you know, when you swipe your card through, the phone can mimic the swiping of a card when you hold it next to a normal credit card machine. And so you can use Samsung Pay to pay for stuff even if they don't have tap to pay enabled. As long as they've got a credit card machine that can do a normal swipe, then you can use that functionality. So it's a cool sort of stopgap to have this they call it MST. It's a cool stopgap to have this MST, stripe-like technology built into the phone while the whole country is switching to NFC and contactless payments. That's the short and the long of Samsung Pay coming into South Africa. The big thing, obviously, and the big difference between Samsung Pay and, say, an Android Pay is that Samsung Pay is locked to Samsung phones because they've got this really unique magnetic technology. They only work on their own phones which have this technology built in. Much the same as Apple Pay. You can't get Apple Pay on an LG phone. That's moving forward finally after years of waiting. We're getting this tech in South Africa.
Yay, more Candy Crush. Okay, good. All right. The other debit order fraud consumers is actually reversing legitimate payments. Tell us about this.
This, and it's actually a significant chunk of the debit order fraud that the Payments Association of South Africa has to deal with and that banks have to deal with, is consumers reversing debit orders on their accounts because it's dead easy to do. And according to the Payments Association, it's like 90% of disputed debit orders, specifically non-authenticated debit orders, it's consumers, reversing the debit order, you know, basically saying, actually, this debit order is wrong. This debit order is fraudulent, effectively, is what the consumer is saying. Reverse the charges, please. And because it's so easy to do this now, currently, I should say, it's happening a lot. And so the Payments Association says that they're dealing with an issue, because consumers doing this, bank clients, I should say, doing this, because it might not be consumers, it could be businesses as well, doing this, makes it incredibly difficult for them to deal with actual debit order fraud. They've got to sift through this immense amount of noise to get to the cases where and there are legitimate cases where there are these rogue companies that are putting debit orders through on people's accounts even though they don't have a debit order instruction. But unfortunately, there's this huge amount of noise for the banks to deal with. And so what the Payments Association is saying is, well, you know, we're going to have to make it more difficult to reverse debit orders. And they're looking at implementing a system that works more like reporting card fraud. So if you've got a fraudulent transaction on your credit card, it'll work more like that than it does right now, which is almost like a no questions asked debit order reversal. I mean, some banks do charge money to reverse debit orders to try and discourage this, but it doesn't seem to be super effective if 90% of debit order disputes are actually legitimate debit orders that the bank client just doesn't want to pay. Either, you know, they've run out of money or they need the money for something else, whatever the case might be, and then they reverse the debit order. It's actually interesting. The Payments Association guys said that, that they can actually correlate this with the economic situation in South Africa. As things get tighter, this kind of, debit order fraud increases, because, you know, people need the money.
Just a little bit, Jan. Do you ever feel like that? Where you just got to have a little bit. It's like oxygen.
Just to reinvigorate you.
Exactly, and it does. Can we please talk about the inventor of BitTorrent leaving his company? In fact, you know what? Let's talk about Telkom first.
Sure.
Because Sasha, our newsreader, or one of our newsreaders, actually said that they've been trying to cancel their line for how long, Sash?
4 months.
For 4 months. And what happens, Sash?
They keep sending us accounts. The phone keeps ringing. We constantly have to remind them we don't have an account with you, and they just don't listen.
Yeah, yeah, and so we reached out to Telkom, and they said that they've been having a problem with their cancellation system. The cancellation system has been offline
for 4 months.
They have I don't know about 4 months, but they introduced an online cancellation system in April 2018. But for folks out there who have been having trouble canceling their stuff, been finding it more difficult than usual to cancel their accounts with Telkom, you are not alone. This is happening, across the company, and folks are having trouble canceling everything. It's a huge issue. Telkom providing us the link to a guide with a step-by-step walkthrough on how to cancel your service online.
Yes, because if it's not cancelled, it's because you've been doing it wrong.
this is the one thing that they don't really deal with is how they are going to handle people who have been failed by the system now. Because Telkom's standard way of dealing with, issues is, oh no, pay, and then we'll fix everything, and then we'll put a credit on your account. But if you are leaving Telkom as a service provider, then a credit on your account is useless. You want the cash.
You don't want to have to pay it. I mean, this is the big irony, is that we're living in South Africa where the services that we want and need, like electricity, we are not getting. And the services that we don't want, we can't get rid of.
Right.
The world is on its head.
Yes, it is a little frustrating. I mean, this is hopefully, something that's going to be out of the ordinary, something that we'll look back on and go, man, you remember that time it was basically impossible to cancel the Telkom service? and they put a brochure on their website to explain how we're doing it wrong.
We're going to look back and say, do you remember there was a company called Telkom?
That's definitely not a situation one wants to land in. Telkom operates by far the biggest fiber network in the country. It is tremendously ingrained in our economy. So it's a little like losing our national carrier. You don't want to end up in that situation. But yeah, I mean, if these kinds of issues continue to plague the operator, that might very well be where things are headed. Its assets will hopefully go to the highest bidder. One doesn't want the government to hold on to that massive fiber network and have it, languish like the broadband InfraCo network. So hopefully, those assets go up for auction if it gets to that. But that means that it goes into private hands. This thing that the South African taxpayer helped build, over decades, to just go up and smoke like that. It's, kind of like seeing the Postal Service fail. It's very sad. You don't actually want to see it.
It went up in smoke because it wasn't operated like a business.
That's an interesting thing. One might say it was because it was operated, too aggressively like a business without any kind of, regulatory oversight. It was handed a legal monopoly. Without regulation, and this story dates back a while. So forgive me for just a second. Yeah. Telkom used to be owned part owned by a shareholder called Tantana. Tantana was made up of two major companies: SBC, a company called SBC, and Telecom Malaysia. SBC you might now recognize as AT&T. There's a very, very interesting report from the early 2000s, I want to say, early to mid 2000s, explaining how this whole thing went down, how the Americans sent out lawyers to South Africa to help write the laws that would effectively put Telkom above the law. And that company extracted tremendous value out of Telkom. The term is sweated the asset. So they sweated the assets of Telkom, made tremendous amounts of money, sold their stake in the company before the going got too tough, exited the country with a massive profit in their pockets. And then when the chickens came home to roost, it wasn't even them who felt it. It was a whole new set of shareholders when the Competition Commission slapped down I think it was a $400 million fine later down the line. So the whole situation is a bit of a mess. But I mean, as interesting as it is to look back, the guys like Pinky Moholi and Sipho Maseko have done to make Telkom look forward is great. They just need to sort out these little operational problems. They need to make it easy for people to buy services, easy for people to cancel services, because otherwise people are just not gonna avoid using the network entirely.